ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. Today is 12th of September 2019. The Onam celebrations in Prashanthi Nilayam just concluded. 3-day celebrations, lots of cultural programs. You always find Onam to be a very beautiful celebration in the Divine Hamlet. Hundreds and thousands coming from Kerala and different parts of the world. And in fact, this year, it was the 50th year of Onam celebration in the Divine Presence. Way back in 1969, the devotees of Kerala had the opportunity to celebrate their Onam in Bhagwan's physical presence, and since then it has been an opportunity, a privilege, and a beautiful chance for the devotees to bask in the love of their dear Lord in Prashanthi Nilayam every year. The Keralites have this day for themselves, as well as the Kerala New Year Day Vishu, which happens in the summer months in April. After the Onam celebrations in Prashanthi Nilayam, the next mega festival round the corner is the 9-day Dasara celebration, which will begin towards the end of September 2019 and conclude with Vijayadashami on October 8th. 2019, the last day of the Dasara celebrations, the Navratri celebrations, is the Vijayadashami. I feel this 9-day festival is a lovely window that our sages and saints have stipulated and systematized for us to concentrate on the divine. During this time, we contemplate on the Almighty as our Divine Mother. Actually, it is so easy to relate to Bhagwan as our mother, isn't it? Someone for whom our love flows automatically once we are touched by him. Someone whom we know will always be there for us. Someone who never judges us. Someone whose love for us is unconditional. Someone whose presence has always been there in our lives. And once we recognize this, then we begin to see how he is, how he has been, and how he will continue to be there for us no matter what. It's just that we have to purify ourselves more and more to experience him and to feel him more palpably and more powerfully in our lives. In fact, in Radio Sai, we have a continuing series on our YouTube channel called Good Morning with Gayatri Mantra. And in this series, we have shared with you direct personal experiences of people who have immensely benefited from the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra. In fact, we have received overwhelming response from people to this series. Other day, I met a Sai brother. Let me call him Satvik. He told me that in his first year of graduation, he had many challenges. He used to get very low marks and he had very low self-confidence. His handwriting was not good. He was unable to recognize the concepts that he had studied. His communication skills in English were poor. And somehow he was never able to complete things on time. He was struggling with all these problems as a student and he wanted a solution. In the year 2000, Swami decided to perform the thread ceremony for eligible Sai students who were studying in Vrindavan or Puttaparthi. And his brother happened to be a student. He was studying in the Vrindavan campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. So it was a proud occasion for their parents to be there. Even though Satvik always wanted to be a Sai student, but somehow it never happened. But his brother was. And so they were in Puttaparthi to attend that grand event. And that event was beautiful. Swami blessed the whole assembly. Swami said how the Gayatri Mantra is Sarva Badha Harini. Gayatri Mantra is the ultimate refuge for anyone, no matter what may be your problem. And he says, I did not realize it at that particular time. But today, I thank Swami for that experience. He says, Swami busted many myths in the discourse that he gave. Swami spoke about how anybody, anywhere, anytime, has the authority to chant the Gayatri Mantra irrespective of caste, creed, religion, gender. He mentions how students from the Anandpur campus, the girl students, participated in the thread ceremony. And Swami mentioned how women also used to chant the Gayatri Mantra in the early years. How they also used to have a sacred thread. Mother Sita had a sacred thread. And Swami himself chanted Gayatri Mantra. And he made the whole assembly chant along with him. It's like God initiated the whole world into the Gayatri Mantra. And he was blessed to be present on that occasion. Bhagwan then focused on the students and mentioned how the Gayatri Mantra will help students by removing all impediments in their learning. In fact, I remember how the Balvika students from Mumbai once presented a very beautiful drama in Bhagwan's physical presence, probably in the year 2010, and they extolled the power of the Gayatri Mantra and the Gayatri principle, and they set to music all the beautiful mentions about Gayatri Mantra, the power and the potency of the Gayatri Mantra in the scriptures, and it was a very beautiful drama. Let me play for you the background music of this drama, which was really so reinvigorating.
भास्कराय विद्महे महाद्युतिकराय धीमहि హంసాయ ధీమహి
హంస హంసాయ విద్మహి పరమహంసాయ ధీమహి
తన్నో హంస ప్రచోదయాత్ సాయీశ్వరాయ విద్మహే సత్యదేవాయ ధీమహి తన్నః సర్వ ప్రచోదయాత్
So that is how this beautiful music went on as the drama on Gayatri Mantra was going on. Going back to the year 2000 when Bhagwan performed the third ceremony of so many Sai students and gave a discourse urging the students to chant the Gayatri Mantra, Bhagwan said, chanting the Gayatri Mantra will protect all of you students in your travels. It will save you from accidents. And then he said, never give the excuse that you do not have time for chanting the Gayatri Mantra. You can chant while you're having your shower, you can chant while walking, while eating. No matter what is the activity you are engaged in, you can always chant the Gayatri Mantra and benefit from it. And when Satvik heard this from Bhagwan, he decided to implement this in his life. So he set aside 2 time slots to chant the Gayatri Mantra as initiated by Bhagwan. So for him, he felt the comfortable thing to do, to chant during having shower, and then for 30 minutes from 9 to 9:30 looking at Bhagwan's photograph. And for the next 2 years, he did this diligently. Every day, half an hour of chanting and continuous chanting while he was having bath. So he followed this routine and he says at the end of 2 years, the beautiful ways he saw the changes in his educational journey. He says, I did not sit and practice improving my handwriting. Simply smart ways just came to me and my handwriting became better. The spacing of words became correct. Writing each letter was now very clear. My answer sheet was now more legible. And then he says, another very important thing that happened is, whatever I heard in the class was sufficient. I did not have to read more than once. I was able to retain the knowledge that I gathered in the classroom. So this is how Gayatri Mantra improves our IQ, our memory. And then he goes on to say, people say that logic in computer programming cannot be taught, but I got it within weeks of chanting the Gayatri Mantra, he says. Because he is a computer programmer. And to do coding, you have to be very strong in logic, in logical thinking and logical understanding. And that came to him because of chanting of the Gayatri Mantra. And then he says, when I was preparing for my examinations, intuitively, I would be directed to a certain chapter or a page or a paragraph. And that is exactly what would be there in the question paper. And that is how I secured very well in the examinations. My marks dramatically improved. My confidence was back. And this happened because of my faith in Bhagwan and in chanting the Gayatri Mantra. It was not my individual ability. It was just Bhagavan's grace and the power of the mantra. He was last in the class in his first year, and in his final semester, he got an overall aggregate of 72%. What was 51% became 72%. He was first in the class by the time he completed the course. This is the tremendous transformation that chanting of the Gayatri Mantra can bring into us. And later on, when he joined work, he had several challenges. Nothing was going the way he wanted. He was feeling the heat at work. And that was the time we started the series on Radio Sai, Good Morning with Gayatri Mantra. And he says that after first two episodes, I wondered if Gayatri Mantra will help me in my career too, or is it only limited to education? And so he prayed to Swami to show him the way and started chanting the Gayatri Mantra. He decided to follow a certain schedule. He started chanting again during shower and three times before sleep, three times before lunch, and continuously listened to the mantra while traveling back and forth from work. And he says things fell into place within a few weeks. Unreasonable supervisors started seeing reason. They started listening. They were now more understanding. Work politics continued to happen, but he says, but I was now not there in those equations. There were few people who used to give me trouble at my work, but now these people stayed away from me. I had less stress, and there was more recognition of my work in the office. Better project assignments came my way, and I was so satisfied now with my work. All this happened once he put a schedule and started chanting the mantra with faith and love. And he always chants the mantra irrespective of his travel mode. Earlier he used to hum movie songs, but now it became a ritual for him that every time he was traveling, he would chant the Gayatri Mantra. Once he was in Bangalore, he was returning home from work and it started raining heavily, and he was in a rush on his Honda Activa scooter. It was pitch dark and he started pouring, and he had traveled on that particular road regularly and he was trying to go as fast as he could because it was getting very difficult to ride. It was becoming dark and there was water all over. Someone probably would have left a big piece of rock on the road. It was dark, he could not see, and by mistake in that hurry to reach home, he hit that rock, and he hit it unfortunately when he was at great speed, and immediately he lost balance and the Honda Activa skidded and he fell on the ground. The scooter also was down and there was no one around, and suddenly from nowhere one person came to help, and that person helped him with the Activa, helped him to stand. He removed that boulder that was on the road, he made the scooter aright. Satvik's body was in shock. It was not possible for him to see which part of the body was bleeding because there was pain everywhere. His helmet was broken, his jeans were torn, there was a toe coming out of his shoe, his hands were throbbing with pain. He thought that, you know, there would be a million broken bones on his body. And the Activa scooter was no condition to start. The front wheel was tilted to the right, the handle was curved, and he didn't know what to do. But this gentleman not only helped him to stand, he also ensured that the bike was now upright. He corrected the handle. It was like magic. He somehow made the scooter work. And the scooter started, to his utter amazement. He helped him to get onto the scooter. And to his absolute surprise, the scooter started and somehow he drove home just another 10-15 kilometers and he started going as slow as possible. His whole body was aching. And when he reached home, his mom was shocked to see him in that state. The mom cleaned him, put vibhuti all over him, applied on his forehead, and slowly she removed her socks, her shoe, his helmet, his shirt. And then he realized that there were 3 minor skin scratches. That is all. There was 1 scratch on the knee, 1 on the right toe, and 1 on the elbow. That is all. But his whole body was aching. He felt that definitely there were so many bones that have become pieces. But when he went, he saw that he was able to walk. He went to the shower. He started chanting the Gayatri Mantra. He finished the bath and his body felt so better. There was now just nominal pain because of the scratches. And next day, he took the scooter to the mechanic and narrated what happened. And the mechanic was surprised to see that this person was still alive, that he survived with just 3 minor scratches. The scooter was all gone. It was as if the scooter had taken upon itself all the injuries that was to come on him. So that is how Satvik has experienced the power of this mantra. And he says it is not just education, not just in my travels. As a career advancement move, he joined a postgraduate program and he was finding it extremely tough to manage work, study and household chores. Somehow he managed to get a decent GPA and reached the end of the course where a capstone project was to be submitted. Now this was a group assignment and the other members of the group were clueless. His mentor also was not of much help and he had to score better to maintain a decent GPA to advance his plans. So now once again he took it upon himself to tackle this problem by resorting to the Gayatri Mantra. So he followed the same schedule of chanting while shower and listening to the mantra. Every time he was on the road while traveling to and from work, he would listen to the mantra. And the progress in his capstone project was rather slow. The deadline was on a Monday and it was already Friday night. And now he felt that his only refuge is Bhagwan. So that day, on that Friday, he took shower and he started chanting the Gayatri Mantra. He decided he will start and chant the mantra for 30 minutes and pray Swami to intervene. After he finished chanting the mantra on that Friday night, he sat down to do the project, to start coding at 6 p.m. and he told himself that he will just not eat or sleep till he finishes the work. It was a data science project. And there were many data cleanup and statistical modeling challenges that had to be done. And they had not been taught very adequately in the course about all these problems. So he was constantly Googling these things, trying to search, learn, Google and learn and then do the work. And he was telling that he had done this before, but this time, somehow, he says, I was using the right keyword and they were just coming from within and I was finding the right page, the right site when I searched on the Google. I was finding solutions which were just coming to me, they're just the right thing. And he says, I was able to learn quickly and by 6 a.m. in the morning, I didn't realize how time flew. The whole model was ready and it was working like a charm with perfect accuracy, sensitivity and specificity. what could not be completed in 3 weeks happened in just 12 hours in one night. He says it was like you see in the movies, the actor comes and just does a magic. It was something like that. He mailed his project to the group and he asked them to review, and they were so thrilled and they submitted the code on a Saturday evening. And when the marks were out, as you can guess, he got full marks. And now he says that I am just so motivated and excited to chant the Gayatri Mantra regularly with a specific schedule. No matter whatever I am doing, travel, education, career, for every aspect of life, this mantra is the panacea to solve all our problems. The capstone project, which is a multifaceted assignment, which is generally done as a culminating experience for the students, typically in the final year of an academic program, went ahead with great success. He was now a confirmed data scientist. And in fact, you will be happy to know that now he is busy for his project with an assignment that he has chosen for himself based on Bhagwan's discourses. He's exploring how paragraphs in Bhagwan's discourses can be auto-labeled under one of the 5 human values: truth, peace, non-violence, right conduct, love. He's using data science to access Bhagwan's discourses more effectively. This is how Gayatri Mantra has made a difference in his life. In fact, every other day I meet people who share with me stories of how this powerful mantra has come to their rescue. And in every episode of Good Morning with Gayatri Mantra, in the end we have the exact manner Bhagwan has chanted this mantra, giving us clearly the method and the intonation with which we should chant this mantra. If only we can make this a constant companion of our lives, we would see miracles unfolding every single moment.
Varko devasya dhimahi Diyo yo na prachodayat
So that is how Bhagwan has himself chanted the Gayatri Mantra and taught us how to chant, and to help us connect with this principle of Gayatri, Bhagwan has also installed in the Prashanti Nilayam Ashram that beautiful powerhouse of serenity and sublimity, the Gayatri Temple. Hundreds gather here every morning and evening to soak in the darshan of the Divine Mother, as they witness her beatific form, they connect to the universal consciousness and go within. Bhagwan himself consecrated the shrine on October 9th, 1998. In a discourse that Bhagwan gave the next day, Swami said, "The Gayatri Mantra is described as Panchamukhi, the deity with five faces. What are these five faces?" Swami says, "The first face is Om, Bhur, Bhuva, Suvaha. This is the second face. Tat Savitur Varenyam. This is the third face. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi is the fourth face. Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat is the fifth face." These are the five faces of the Gayatri Mantra, of the Gayatri Ma. And Swami says, who is Gayatri? Gayatri Chandasam Mata. Gayatri is the mother of all the Vedas. She has three names: Gayatri, Savitri, Saraswati. Gayantam Trayate Iti Gayatri. Gayatri redeems the one who chants the mantra. Gayatri is the master of the senses. Savitri is the master of prana, life force. And Saraswati is the presiding deity of speech, Vakdevata Swarupini, Swami says. So, in Gayatri, Savitri, Saraswati, we have the master of the senses, the life principle, and the faculty of speech. And Bhagwan goes on to explain Bhur, Bhuva, Swaha. And Swami says it does not refer to the three worlds, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Suvarloka. Swami says all these three words are there in you, they are present in you, they are present in every living creature. Bhur refers to the body made up of the five elements, and that is what is materialization. The same five elements constitute the entire world. Bhuva refers to the prana shakti. Swami says this is vibration, what makes the body move. And Suvaha, Swami says, refers to radiation. It is the pragyanam. It is that which enables the pranashakti, the life principle, to animate the body. So the five elements are Bhu. Bhuva is the life principle. And Suvaha is that power which enables the life principle to move the body. So Bhagwan referred to this principle, this power, this pragyanam is what is called as pragyanam brahma, constant integrated awareness. And Swami says this is present in man. This only has to be realized, this has to be awakened. And the best way to do this, Swami says, is good company. What is good company? Satsanga. Sat, Swami says, is the name of divinity. It is present, is eternal. It is there everywhere. We only have to be in communion with the Sat. And very beautiful example Swami gave and said, when the milk is in company of the water, the milk is very happy. Swami says the combination of milk and water is what is satsanga. That is ideal friendship, milk and water. Swami says, when the milk is boiled on a stove, the water gets evaporated. And once the water gets evaporated, the milk, unable to bear the separation from water, also tries to jump into the fire. The milk, we always see boiling and overflowing once the water evaporates. Swami says that is how that relationship between God and us should be. The moment God evaporates from our life, we would just not want to even exist. We want to jump into the fire. That is how our connect with the Lord should be. And Swami says the moment you sprinkle some water again on the boiling meat, it gets pacified. The same, the milk is happy on being united with its friend. That is the relationship that we should have between Nara and Narayana, individual and God. God is very happy when the individual joins him in this, in his company. God is sad when the individual diverts it and his attention and gets immersed in worldly pleasures. Once the individual surrenders again to God, God is happy again. And to help us to always remain connected to this divine, to establish and solidify this connect with the divine, Bhagwan, I feel established this Gayatri temple. We can connect to the universal consciousness through the conscience which is there in us. Through the conscious body. The conscious body can connect to the universal consciousness through the conscience. That is the purpose of the Gayatri temple. The story of the Gayatri temple goes back to 1991 when Bhagwan celebrated the 80th birthday of one of his ardent and beloved devotees, Sri Subramanya Chettiar from Madurai. On that occasion, Bhagwan gifted him his divine footprints on silver, a pair of silver padukas. So Swami gifted Subramanya Chettiar his own silver padukas. And once Chettiar returned to Madurai, whenever anyone came to him with a problem, he would ask that person to place their prayer at the divine feet that Bhagwan had blessed him with. And when people did that, they found solutions to their problems. Someone who had an incurable disease got cured. Someone who was not getting a job found a job. Someone who was childless was blessed with a son. So, lot of miracles happened. And when Sri Chettiar witnessed these amazing facets of faith and surrender occurring through the adoration of the padukas, he decided to seek Bhagwan's permission to make hundreds of such padukas and distribute them to the people. He thought, if people's faith in the padukas is doing miracles, why not we enable and facilitate this process? And this was the genesis of the Sai Paduka movement, leading to the establishment of the Sri Sai Paduka Trust in 1995. From 1993, every year, Paduka Pratisthan Mahotsavam began to be held in Bhagwan's immediate presence. And on each of these occasions, Sri Chettiar would go to Bhagwan and seek his direction to make a statue of a deity to commemorate the occasion. And so every year you had beautiful statues coming into Prashantanilayam whenever Paduka Pratisthan Mahotsavam happened. And that is how in Prashantanilayam you find this lovely shrines of Hanuman, Kartikeya, Dhanvantri in the super hospital and so on. Let me now come to 1998. So in the January of that year, Sri Chettiar and his son Srinivas Chettiar were in Prashantanilayam. They stayed for 10 days. And during this time, the father, Subramanya Chettiar, fell ill and he was hospitalized in Bhagwan's hospital in Puttaparthi. Now, while the father was recuperating in the hospital one day, Bhagwan suddenly asked the son, Srinivas, what are you going to install this year? And they had not yet started making serious preparations for the Paduka festival because it was 9 months away. And so Srinivas was blank, he didn't know what to say. He said, Swami, you please tell us, you guide us what we should make this year. But Swami did not suggest anything. And so Srinivas started putting forth many ideas. He said, Swami, should we make a statue of Dattatreya? Or should we make a Sivashakti idol? Or can we make Vishnu and Lakshmi? Swami heard everything but didn't seem to like any of the suggestions. He kept saying, no, no, not this, not this, not this. And then finally, Swami said, you go to your father tonight. Go and see him in the hospital. He will tell you what to do. So when Srinivas went to his father and narrated the entire interaction with Bhagwan, Subramanya Chettiar said, Srinivas, how to tell you, right from early morning today, the moment I close my eyes, Mother Gayatri is appearing in my dream. She's just coming to me. She's so beautiful, so radiant, so serene. Her presence is so soothing. But I don't know why she is constantly appearing in my vision. I have never worshipped her or meditated on her. Let alone meditation, I never ever even thought about her or knew anything about her. So I don't know why this is happening. You go and tell Swami that this is what I am experiencing. I don't know what to make of this. So next day, when he was in the darshan, Swami called Srinivas again for interview, and Bhagwan asked, "What did your father say?" And Srinivas said, "Swami, he had a vision of Ma Gayatri." And Swami immediately said, "Ah, Gayatri, Gayatri, Gayatri Pettu. Make Gayatri statue." And immediately Srinivas got on with the job. He went to Jaipur in Rajasthan and he met a very pious sculptor. Gave him the instructions about the dimensions of the idol. That it should have 5 faces, mother should be seated in this posture, height should be of 6 feet and so on, as per the detailed instructions given by Bhagwan himself. And he gave half the price of the idol as advance amount. And the artist began the work. Srinivas would travel to Jaipur off and on to see the progress of the work. On his second visit, he found that the sculptor was very sad, he was very unhappy. So Srinivas requested him to share his predicament, what was bothering him. Tell me, why is there so much of sadness on your face? And then the sculptor revealed that unfortunately he found a defect in the stone. By then he had completed making the face, the hands, the feet. In fact, 80 to 90% of the work was over. But now, as he was doing the chest of the mother, he noticed a hole inside the stone. He had no idea how the stone had this defect. And so now he was so devastated. He said, "You know, I could have concealed the hole and proceeded with the work. I could have somehow covered it up, and I could have anyway painted it so no one would have ever known. I would have got my money. But the thing is, you know, how can I do such a job when I'm doing it for the mother, and especially it has to go to Puttaparthi, to Bhagwan? So now I don't know what to do. The work has stopped." And now Srinivas told him, "Don't worry. Thank you for letting me know of this problem and not hiding it from me." He said, "This is not your mistake. We never know what is there inside the stone. Only when we start chipping it off, we realize. So don't worry. Just be calm. I will go to Bhagwan and report to him." And so immediately he came to Puttaparthi. And when he narrated the sequence of events, the sad turn of the situation, Bhagwan said, "See how good this man is. He's so honest. Tell him not to be anxious." Swami said, "Go, ask him to take one more stone and start the work again. Don't worry about the time. He will do it in time. And this time it will come out even better. Don't worry." Assured by Swami, Srinivas Chettiar went back to Jaipur, and they now bought one more stone and the sculptor started the work. And this time, in just 1.5 months, he finished the work, and it indeed was a masterpiece. And then Srinivas Chettiar made arrangements to shift this idol, which is very heavy, 110 kilograms, 1,100 kilograms, in a special lorry. He brought it to Prashant Nilayam and placed it in the Purnachandra auditorium with Bhagwan's permission. Now he prayed to Bhagwan to bless the idol. And Bhagwan most graciously came one morning, and the moment Swami saw the statue, he said, "See how beautiful is the statue. It has come out very well." And Swami was saying, and Swami was looking keenly at all the features of the mother, and Swami was constantly talking about how perfectly the statue has come about. And even as Bhagwan was doing that, he was touching, various parts of the idol, the hands, the head, the feet, and so on. And in those few minutes, as if he was examining the idol, Bhagwan actually went round the statue 3 times as he was seeing the idol. And when this happened, Srinivas was thrilled. His dream was finally becoming real, because he knew every time Swami touches it, it is not an ordinary event. Those are the moments when the Gayatri statue transforms into the Gayatri Ma. That is when the statue becomes alive. The stone becomes God. Every time Bhagwan looked and touched the statue, he knew Swami was suffusing and infusing it with real power. And after a few minutes, Swami asked Srinivas, "So Srinivas, what do you feel about the statue?" And Srinivas was so overwhelmed with the Lord's compassion that he said, "Swami, now that your eyes have fallen on the statue, it has indeed become so beautiful. It is powerful and it is sacred now." And the ocean of humility that Swami said, no, nothing. The sculptor has done a very good job. How much did you pay him?" And Srinivas mentioned the advance amount that he had given. And Swami said, he's a nice man, Swami. He considers it as a privilege to work for you. He will accept any compensation. He's not asking for any money, Swami." But Swami immediately said, no. "He may accept, but I don't accept this. You have given him so less. Is he here? Call him." And immediately Srinivas called the artist who had come. And Swami complimented the man profusely in Hindi. "Bahut acha, bahut acha." And then Swami then said, "The best part about this statue is that you adhered to truth. You could have concealed the defect, but you decided to speak the truth. I am very happy. I am so happy," Swami said. And then and there, Swami created a green emerald ring and put it on his finger. The sculptor's heart was overflowing with love. Swami was so gracious. And then Swami said, "Srinivas, how much more are you going to give him?" And when he mentioned the amount, Swami said, "That's all? So less? No, he deserves more. He has spoken the truth. He deserves much more." And Bhagwan went inside and he brought a big envelope, and in it was 5 times the amount that Chettiar had given him. And Swami now lovingly handed it to the sculptor and then honored him with a shovel, a memento, and so on. And in the end, Swami told Srinivas, "You can give him whatever more you want, but I wanted to give him this amount. This man is a good man. He spoke the truth." Even Srinivas, if he wanted, could have hidden the fact from Swami and told the sculptor to just go ahead and just complete the work because it has to be done on time. But he, given his complete faith in Bhagwan's omniscience and the dedication to offer the best to Bhagwan, decided to tell everything to Bhagwan openly and do it in the most truthful manner. And Swami was so happy. Swami blessed the statue profusely. Swami immediately called Shilpi Subramaniam, the chosen architect, and asked him to construct a temple for the statue. And then the date was fixed for the installation, October 9th, 1998. And for the 3 days before the installation, a yajna was held in one of the halls with elaborate rituals. Scores of people from Madurai had come to be part of this historic event. On the morning of the consecration, the Divine Mother was brought in a grand procession in a specially designed open vehicle from this hall where yajnam was done for 3 days to this temple site. Every day Swami would be very eager to see the pictures of the yajnam. Every day Swami would inquire about the ceremony. And on the day of the inauguration, more than 100 ladies were part of this procession, carrying sacred articles, bangles, jewels, flowers, fruits, and so on. And this lovely procession moved from the hall towards the temple. And once the deity was brought to the temple, it was carefully placed on the pedestal with utmost care. And then amidst chants and Vedas and bhajans, Bhagwan was himself there as the statue was lowered into that sacred pit where holy items like turmeric, kumkum and so on were placed. And then Swami gave instructions how the statue should be placed. Swami in fact suggested that given the statue was heavy, a rope should be used to gently slide it into the marked spot, and Bhagwan himself pushed it. And the statue was fixed. Bhagwan went in the front, saw if the place was proper, if the angle was proper, if it is on the center, and blessed everyone there, and thus gave birth to the lovely Gayatri temple in Prashantinilayam. In the evening of the same day, Abhishekam and Astabandhanam was performed. Astabandhanam is the sacred ritual of binding the statue to the spot with 8 sacred materials, which is a regular ritual that is done during installations, sacred installations. And Swami blessed each of these items and guided Srinivas to go ahead with the ceremony. And from that day, Gayatri worship and adoration began in Prashantinilayam. On the same occasion, the Sri Sai Paduka Trust also offered to Bhagwan a golden Krishna, a big statue of golden Krishna on the flute, Lord Krishna, on the flute resting on a cow who is nursing her calf. Interestingly, just a fortnight before Srinivas started off her Prashantinilayam for this ceremony, he went to an astrologer who can read Shukanadi, those palm leaf inscriptions written by Sage Sukha, which has prophecies about our times. And to his utter delight, it was written there mentioning the date of the event that such an installation of Mother Gayatri will take place in Puttaparthi, and it will be accompanied by offering of golden Krishna to Bhagwan. And that is exactly what happened on that day. It was like everything that had been mentioned and already planned by the Divine was unfolding. In fact, on subsequent visits of Srinivas to Prashantinilayam, Bhagwan would often ask him, how is your Gayatri? And he would say, Swami, they are looking after the temple so well. And Swami would say, yes, yes. Referring to one lady who was looking after the shrine there, Swami would say, she would give her life for the mother. Her devotion is exemplary. Similarly, on another visit, out of the blue, Swami told Srinivas, today, Gayatri is adorned in red. And when Srinivas later went to the temple, he saw that mother indeed was draped in a beautiful red sari. So this was an ongoing thing. Every now and then Bhagwan would inquire about the temple, its activities, and remark something about the way the puja is done. For instance, another day he told Srinivas, Pedda Chukka Pettyaru, they have put a big, big mark on her cheek. Swami said, big mole on her cheek. So it was almost like everything that was being done to the mother was felt by Bhagwan. That was and that is the cosmic connection between Bhagwan and Mother Gayatri. In fact, in the discourse that Bhagwan delivered on the next day of the installation, Bhagwan said, the Gayatri mantra consists of 3 parts. One is praise, the second is meditation, and the third is prayer. The first 9 words of the Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhur Bhuvah Swaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bharko Devasya, all these correspond to description or praise of the Gayatri Ma. And after you have adored the mother, then comes meditating on the mother, and that is conveyed in the word Dhimahi. And finally, Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat is a prayer to the mother to confer a steady and pure intellect. We first praise the mother, meditate on the mother, and then pray for illumination. We pray for buddhi, for awakening of divinity in us. And Swami says, when you extol the Lord, how should you extol? You should extol him with a feeling of intimacy, Swami says. There is no relationship which is more endearing than friendship with the Lord. So Swami says, if you take the Navavida Bhakti, the ninth path of devotion, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Saranam, Vandanam, Archanam, Padasevanam, Dasyam, Sneham, Atma Nivedanam. Swami says, before Atma Nivedanam, before self-surrender, you have friendship. Swami says, one should develop friendship with the Lord and be a recipient of His love. It is enough if you remember the relationship between you and God, Swami says. And the way to develop this friendship is devotion. Referring to Adi Shankara, Swami said, even though Adi Shankara propagated the principle of non-dualism, but in the end, he also entered the path of devotion. He sang Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam Mudamate, Samprapte Sanite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukram Karani. O foolish man, chant the name of the Lord. When the hour of death arrives, only the Lord can save you. Swami says, even one of wisdom becomes a devotee at some point of time. The noblest and the greatest path is the path of devotion. The word bhakti is derived from the root word bhaj. And Swami says, bhaj means total surrender. Offering total love to the Lord is bhakti. And all these rituals, the worship that we do, Swami says, they are just physical, worldly activities. They are the pravritti marga. They should take us to the nivritti marga, inward path. And referring to the abhishekam that was done on the evening of the installation, Swami said, honey, milk, curd, so many items were poured on the statue as the abhishekam was done. Do you know the purpose of this ritual? It is only one. It is purification of our heart, cleansing our being of all impurities. That is the purpose of this abhishekam. And then Bhagwan said, purity alone is not enough to experience divinity. What is needed is not just archana, not just worship with a pure mind, but arpitam, complete surrender, Swami says. Archana should transform into arpitam, complete surrender. A surrender so total that we lose consciousness of our body and mind and become one with the universal wisdom and cosmic consciousness that the mother so beautifully symbolizes. Bhakti also means total surrender. Every ritual should become spiritual. Every adoration should lead to total sublimation at His lotus feet. Let our concentration on the Mother lead to annihilation of our restlessness so that we can forever rest at her lotus feet in total bliss. It is to help us in this journey that Bhagwan blessed all of us with this beautiful principle of the Gayatri Ma. In Prashantinilam you have the Gayatri temple which goads people into this path of connecting with the divine, connecting with the universal consciousness, of annihilating one's desires, annihilating one's body, stilling one's mind, and becoming one in communion with the universal consciousness. Every place of Prashantinilayam is so charged. Every place is a powerhouse to fill our lives with that constant connect with the divine. As Navaratri approaches, let us make use of this beautiful 9 days to feel Him more strongly than before, to be more steady in our discipline, and to experience Him more intimately than ever before. As we move on, as we approach Dasara, I'm going to share with you more stories of the Divine Mother in the coming episodes. If you also have your own moments of learning and revelation, chanting the Gayatri Mantra or worshipping the Divine Mother, please feel free to share that with us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with us through this journey. Sai Ram.